Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real fast before we jump into things with our guests, some show notes if you are looking for pro wrestling in the next few days. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual. Defy Wrestling in Seattle, Washington. 3-2-1 Battle also happening here in Seattle, Washington tonight. BOTB in Harrison, Ohio. And WTF in Carmel, Indiana tonight. Tomorrow night, IWA Mid-South has an all-women show in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. MWA in Lincoln, Nebraska. Tried and True Pro Wrestling in Oak Grove, Kentucky. PWA in Springfield, Illinois. EPW in Franklin, Ohio. EBPW in Pachinko, California. VCW in LaGrange, Georgia. Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. CMLL in Salinas, California. BOTB back at it in Aurora, Indiana tomorrow. And Fight or Die Wrestling in Indianapolis at the Outlaw Arena tomorrow night. And without further ado, I want to welcome back to the show our guest today, John Bullard. Welcome back.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show again. And it's always a blast to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil with Sign Guy and CC. You guys are always a true professionals and always two of the finest people I could ever talk to about the sport of professional wrestling. So thank you for having me on your show.
Our pleasure, as usual. But since the last time you were on this show, you have relocated, and you are actually in the Chicago area, starting up a brand new company there. Do you want to tell us about the new company that you've got going on now?
Yes, absolutely. So since moving up to the Illinois, Northwest Indiana area, I've kind of noticed that there was a lot of promotions up in this area that are actually very good. The wrestling is fantastic up in this region. But I've noticed that there was something that was lacking, which was a old-school professional wrestling show done in a TV studio-style setup. So I've created a company called Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, and the show is very much set up like the old TV studio shows that you see from back in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s that we all kind of grew up watching. So with the company itself, we're going to use a lot of Midwest Chicago talent and some talent from other areas as well and showcase some of the up-and-coming athletes and stars of tomorrow that will become future legends, you know, a couple of years from now, that we'll be looking back saying, hey, I remember when he was on TV or when he wrestled with this one guy, and set it up in a different format that's a little different from what people in Chicago area is used to seeing. When I first, as you guys remember, when I was working in Kentucky, one of the very first promotions I actually worked for was a company called Southern Championship Wrestling, and it was a TV studio-style show that was on WOBC TV9. So when people always ask me about, you know, oh, you're trying to copy the NWA format, it's not trying to copy the NWA. It's, as a kid growing up, I grew up watching championship wrestling from Florida, a lot of Memphis. So to me, that was the wrestling I grew up watching. So to me, it was more natural. So when I moved up in this part of the area, I was thinking, you know, everybody else is trying to be the next Ring of Honor, and you got great companies like Freelance, you got companies like Chicago Style Wrestling. They're all good companies, but there's one thing that's missing in this area, and that was an old school TV studio style show done with you know, the interview segments and everything that, you know, coming with that tradition of style of the show. And taking time to scout talent for the last 2 years is what I've been doing outside of wrestling, which now I'm fully retired from in-ring competition as a wrestler. I've been using those 2-3 years since moving up here to scout talent because I see people that I want to work with, people who have great work ethic, but also are professionals in and out of the ring as well. Because being a promoter, your talent does reflect on your company. No matter how many guys want to think that or not, your talent does reflect on your product. So I wanted the best guys possible working for me. And I think I have a great crew of talent that's going to be on our show. And honestly, I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to be filming our shows to be broadcasted on television, regional television as well. Not just local, but regional. And also airing it on Amazon Prime. And going to also put it on Fight TV.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really well put together promotion, much like your previous promotions. The NWA, of course, reviving studio wrestling on a bit more of a grander scale with the backing of Billy Corgan, but the fans in the Midwest have not really seen a true studio wrestling show in a while. Do you think that with the advent of the NWA coming back to a studio television show is going to get more people to watch your show, even though you might have had the idea previous to the NWA deciding to do this? Do you think that the fact that they did it ahead of your show going on the air is going to actually benefit you?
You know, so far the feedback I received from people here in the Midwest is that they are loving the idea of seeing a studio style show in the Midwest, and the talent is all on board for it because they know it's something different than the usual, you know, wrestling independent show format. And it's so far we've gotten really strong support from the community and both from the fans and the wrestlers. So, yes, I think it's going to be quite beneficial to do a studio show. And, you know, I got a great crew of people working with me that have, like myself, previous backgrounds and promoting, booking, and also with production. So it's not just, you know, one guy running around with his head, you know, cut off like a chicken, but it's a group of people that are professional working together to make sure the show is superb.
You said that the in-ring career is finished for you right now. Do you think that there would be circumstances down the road at some point that might lure you back into the ring on occasion, or do you see yourself strictly on the other side of the curtain at this point?
Well, at 36 years old, I finally came to the decision in my life that I'm happy with being on the other side. When I came back to wrestling as an in-ring performer, it was to kind of prove to myself that I could still get up and go and do it. But it was also one of the things that, you know, I kind of had some, how's the word I want to use? There were some bumps in the road in my life that I kind of had to get over and prove to myself. And that was what my whole last 2 years was about. So I finally, like I told everybody in December, that I was planning to, you know, hang up the boots and call it a day and go into doing not only promoting, but, you know, I'm also doing other stuff too. I got my own TV show, Pro Wrestling Tonight, that's on Alco TV on Comcast Channel 99. I use that to actually help interview wrestling talent in the Midwest to give them a spotlight and also help do coverage for promotions as well. I'm also doing liaison work for other companies that are needing assistance with their production and promoting of their events. So I'm kind of keeping myself pretty busy on Paul's going to be managing some wrestling talent on other shows outside of my own, because I don't believe in working for myself. That's always been a pet peeve of mine. But I used to see a lot of promoters that would, they would wrestle for themselves and they got to put themselves over, and they have the BB guy on their show. And I always believe, if you're going to run a show, book the great talent that you have and let that talent be the stars. And be in the back, take care of business, do what you have to do. That's always been a belief of mine. So I would never work for myself. But there are other companies I'll be appearing at to help with their shows and managing talent, and also working as a agent in the back as well for them, and helping critique matches and helping out the young guys get prepared for, the long road that's ahead of them. So actually tomorrow I'll be at C3 Wrestling in Hammond, Indiana, at the Gene Shepherd Community Center. They run a fantastic show, a lot of great talent that comes out of Northwest Indiana, and a lot of them are from Southside Chicago. So getting the chance to work with them and, putting towards my efforts, my knowledge, towards their knowledge as well to help better the product, something I'm looking forward to.
Speaking of some of the younger guys out there, especially since you've made the move from Kentucky to the Chicago area, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of the younger rookies in that area now, and they've always had a good crop of young guys over the last several years. Who are some of the rookies out there that fans and promoters may not realize are out there that you think are going to be the stars carrying the Midwest in the next few years?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. Okay. I wouldn't call these guys rookies, but I'll call them more of the young generation that hasn't had a chance to be fully polished yet, but with the time will become the big breakout stars. I do believe Phil Bruno will be a huge star if he sticks with wrestling. He's a highly intelligent young guy, so he has a very bright road ahead of him no matter what he does. But as an in-ring wrestler, he's got a lot of potential. Great baby face all the way through. Miles Mercer, the king of the whole show, he is mentored by C-Red. You guys probably remember C-Red from the famous group, the Soul Touchers. They wrestled in Dragon Gate, and they've been all over the world pretty much. Miles, in my opinion, I think he's 24 years old. He has the mentality of a 20-year veteran. So he gets to business. He's a really, really smart guy when it comes to putting together, what he's going to do in his career. I think he's going to be a big star. This takes time. He's going to be wrestling for me, actually. So I want to definitely go out of my way to help showcase his talent. Another guy, so there's a group of, not just only in Chicago wrestling, but just wrestling in general. I can give you guys a little bit of my blue chip prospect list of young talent that I think that's going to be big stars if given a chance. Miles Mercer, Phil Bruno, Shane Mercer, who wrestled for me. He's already got a lot of independent credit to his name, but he's one of those guys I truly believe should be traveling all over the world in Japan and Europe because he's that good. Alex Zane, who wrestled for me back in PWF, he's going to be in WWE or NXT or AEW, one of the three, before next year, guarantee it. There's a young gentleman who wrestles out of Florida. His name's Yo-Yo. He was trained by gentleman Jack Gallagher and Cedric Alexander. He's a small guy, but he is fantastic with strikes, submission wrestling, chain wrestling. He gets to business very well. He's very smart. Robert Martyr, another young kid that's going to become a big star. He gets it. He's smart. He'll become a breakout star within time. Zach Cooper, who MLW just signed. Zach Cooper reminds me of Walter, who's now in NXT UK. he reminds me of Walter, and that's a huge compliment to him because Walter's a fantastic wrestler. Those guys were really great. I think Garrison Creed out of Wisconsin, he's going to be a huge star coming out of the Midwest. Ewok, he's a Chicago talent that's coming. He's going to be coming to wrestle for us at Chicagoland. You know, he understands not only the physicality of wrestling, but vocally and also personality-wise, he's someone that fans can relate to. And he just gets it. Smart guy. I think Aaron Stone out of Chicago will be a really good talent. In-ring-wise already, he does a lot of phenomenal stuff. I just think it's one of those young men that just needs the right mentors to work with him and help bring him up to where he needs to be at. He'll be a star. And there's so many of them, guys. It's a long list. I think the Gotch brothers, they're out of Tennessee, fantastic tag team. They're still kind of green, but in hindsight, if they keep on doing what they're doing, they'll be big. Chris Jones, he was trained by Billy Robinson. Fantastic wrestler. And to me, he's one of those guys. He's probably one of the best-kept secrets on the indies. And hopefully, working with us here in Chicagoland, he'll get the recognition and maybe get more eyes on his ability. So other companies can say, hey, I'd like to book that kid, you know, because he's really good. I mean, there's so many guys. I mean, we can do a whole podcast literally off of notes of young talent that people should be looking for to book. But those guys, I definitely give them my recommendations. I think also another guy, Rockstar Johnny Nye, another guy that you take the athletic ability of a cruiserweight and you throw in the hillish abilities of an Andy Kaufman with a real-life rock star personality, because he actually is a rock musician with a national-known touring band. That guy will be a huge star. Just a matter of time. You know, all those guys. I mean, it's a blue-chip prospect list right there for you.
Seems like there is a lot of young talent there. When I worked for you in Kentucky, the talent roster was stacked with a lot of guys that were doing big things and continue to do big things. You had guys like Jason Kincaid, Alex Zane, Gregory Iron. There are so many people on the show, Mickey Knuckles, so many great pieces of talent that were just phenomenal at what they do. When you look back at some of the talent rosters that you've had in the past, are you looking to bring some of those names with you to Chicago, or are you looking to build a completely separate brand with completely separate talent for this project?
You know, I don't mind taking some people from my past and having them come up here. This is a lot of times with a lot of those guys, like let's say Zane Mercer, for example, Jason Kincaid, Isaiah, another one. Those guys are I would book them. Jordan Cage is another one that gets overlooked, but he shouldn't be because he's really good. All those guys, yeah, I would definitely book them for come over shows. The thing is sometimes is trying to get them on the dates that you have shows. Because now so many of them are booked all across the country. Like Alex Zane, man, he went from wrestling for PWF when I was running that show. And, you know, coming out of, you know, the little underground wrestling circuit that he was part of. And then next thing I know, he's doing a New Japan wrestling tour and working for O, and he's working for like all these other promotions. I'm proud of him. You know, I'm proud of every one of the young guys and girls that work for me that are going out there and they're achieving their dreams. You know, just to sit back and once in a while I'll watch the old DVDs of the shows and just sit back and go, wow. You know, when they first, you know, a lot of them first started out, you know, wrestling for me, or, you know, they were still young. and they were building their character, who they were, and just to see them start from this point and now see them where they're at now, I'm extremely proud of them, every one of them. But
now, and
to go back to answer your other question, one thing of Chicagoland now is develop a core roster of young talent that I truly believe in, that has a lot of potential to become the next future breakout stars. And there's some of them that's been overlooked by a lot of people. You know, they've been wrestling for a good while, but they've been underutilized. And, yeah, I want to take some of those talents and let's put them to use and showcase what they can do and what they can do best.
One of the things that not every professional wrestler delves into is looking at the history of pro wrestling and trying to see what worked in the past and what they can use out of that to build the future. In Chicago, they have a very, very long history in professional wrestling. When wrestling was first on television in the 40s, it emanated from Chicago, and it remained a hotbed of wrestling all the way through up until current day. So there's a great deal of history in that area. Is the history of Chicago wrestling something that you study very much, and do you encourage others that work for you in whatever capacity to study the history of Chicago wrestling?
Absolutely. You look at, you know, the first American World Championship, Heavyweight Championship, was crowned in Chicago. You had Frank Gott versus George Hackenschmidt. That was in Chicago. You look at the wrestling shows back then with Marigold Arena. You know, they would have the wrestling shows, Dumont Network, Fred Kohler. You know, and then you look into the 1980s and 90s, you had, you had Windy City, you know, and all the stars. Christopher Daniels came out of Chicago. I mean, that's where he was trained, and that's where he honed his craft. So, yeah, I'm a huge student of Chicago wrestling. And I would tell anybody who comes to work for me, definitely study the Chicago history. And also, you know, Chicago kind of has its own wrestling style. A lot of people, you know, may not really kind of think about that, but Chicago wrestling has always been known for, you know, good technical wrestling, but also very rugged and rough, brawling style of wrestling. I mean, look at the Road Warriors, for example, and you look at some of the other classic matches that we've had in Chicago over the years. I mean, it was known for a rough and tumble style. Another part of Chicago history, guys, Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers, and Pat O'Connor. You know, it was at one time the largest crowd in wrestling history. So, yeah, huge student of Chicago wrestling.
One of the big things that Chicago was known for, at least dating back to the 60s, if not before that, was they were a very bloodthirsty crowd oftentimes. You would hear chants of "We want blood" in the 60s and 70s, way before that was commonplace in promotions like ECW and CZW. Blood has been sort of a controversial topic within professional wrestling over the last few years based upon advances in medical technology and learning some of the dangers that could be present. There's mixed feelings on the place of blood within wrestling these days. Where would you stand on blood within the matches that you present?
Sometimes accidents do happen, and there are times, you know, guys will end up, you know, getting them busted open. You know, that's just the nature of the beast with wrestling. Sometimes that happens on purpose, and there's times also, you know, there's accidents happen. To me, I think when it really comes down to the blood ordeal, I do kind of wish that wrestlers would go, and a lot of them do this, A lot of the deathmatch guys I've talked to, they actually will go to medical clinics and health clinics and get blood tests and their blood work done to make sure they're not carrying any bloodborne pathogen diseases, which is a smart way to do things. If you're definitely going to bleed out, make sure that you're healthy and make sure that you're not carrying any diseases. I really do think, and some wrestlers get upset when I talk about this, but I do believe that every wrestler should at least go to a health clinic or medical clinic and get their blood work done just to make sure that they're not carrying any diseases and everyone that they're working with is also free of that. That's a very large way that we can eliminate the fear of bloodborne pathogen diseases in the ring. And also it actually helps protect our fans too. Would I ever book, you know, deathmatch, hardcore matches? No. That's not really my cup of tea. You know, steel cage match, yes. Dog collar or some of the old school style matches that, you know, we grew up watching, sure. But when it comes to light tubes and razor blades and thumbtacks, no. You know, I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm not going to, like, spit on deathmatch wrestling. That's for a niche market that people enjoy. That's fine. But that's not what Chicagoland Championship Wrestling's about. So, no, fans, when they come to our show, they don't have to worry about, you know, watching a bloodbath happen. You know, if anything else, you know, make sure that the wrestlers are safe and definitely our fans should be safe as well.
Well, at this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. I always, like I said before, I always enjoy talking to you guys on your podcast. So it's always a blast.
Well, John, we just had our 10th anniversary show a couple weeks ago. I can't believe how quick a decade of dominance on the airways has gone by.
10 years, yeah. You guys, let's see. When I first, I think the first time I became one of your guys' guests was, what, back in 2012, if I'm correct on that. So, yeah, I mean, looking back at it, you guys had some fantastic guests over the years, too. So many legends and future legends have been on your show. So, yeah, 10 years have gone by fast, but you know what? Before we know it, guys, it'll be 20 years, you know, and yeah, it's just, like I said, I've always enjoyed being on Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Well, both Sign Guy and I will do research and see what interview you were and how many listens you have. That's a project that we'll look forward to. I think I know how to get, I'll get into the archives and try to pass on that information to you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that you were probably – I know that you were in Kentucky at the time of our last interview. Since you have moved to Chicago, have you become a Chicago Cubs fan? That's what I want to know.
Well, growing up, I've always – I mean, as a kid growing up in Florida, I was always a Chicago sports fan. So, yeah, I've always liked the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the Chicago Bears. So I've always had a love for the Chicago area. So it's one of those, a fan far away from home coming home, if that makes sense. But, yeah, I've always been a Chicago sports fan.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Bullard, I saw your YouTube video entitled CCW Pro Wrestling Tonight – / episode 1, Code Red. Well, yeah, that is Code Red, CR, correct?
No, that's C Red. He's a very well-known legendary manager and wrestler here in the Chicago area. Yeah, he was actually my debut show first guest. I had him on the show, Rockstar, Johnny Nye, Chaz Moretti, Phil Bruno, Chris Logan, the Ewok, and also one of my right-hand men in Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, Mr. Michael Allen. They've all been on my show. And, you know, it's so far we've gotten really good fan reaction and the support of the local town community and the region around here. They really love seeing a TV show that is actually about wrestling, and it brings a positive light to the world of wrestling. So yeah, it's been one of my mini projects that's been in the works for a while. So we're actually doing our first road show with Pro Wrestling Tonight, actually tomorrow at C3 Wrestling in Hammond, where I'll be interviewing some of the talent and also covering some of the matches as well for the TV show.
Well, that was episode one with C Red. What? When was that debut? That wasn't that long ago. Maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah, give or take, was about 2-3 months ago. Yes.
How many episodes are you up to now?
We're actually now at episode 7.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting here. We're working towards our 10th episode. So we're getting there. Slowly and surely.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, in that interview with C. Red, you said that he was the urban sensation, the Midwest Manager of the Year, the man who is too sweet to be sour, the king of power, the man with the Chi-Town swagger. That's quite the introduction.
But, you know what? And the thing is, he's earned every one of those introductions. C. Red was the Midwest Reunion Manager of the Year, selected by his peers for his contributions to the world of wrestling. And he's actually has become one of my close friends. So having him on the show as my first guest, that was such an honor. He's one of the good guys in the world of wrestling. And honest to God, when my day has come in this business and I finally can't do what I love to do, and I do call it a night and walk away from the world of wrestling, which I hope that never comes, but times do happen. I will always reflect back on the friendships I've made over the years, and knowing C. Red was one of the true friends I've had. That to me is far better than any pay per view to be on or any championship belt someone could win. So making friends with people I look up to and being good people that I admire, you can't have a better world to be in when you have that in your daily life. That means a lot to me.
Well, I do wish in the future that we can schedule C. Red on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. I would like to ask him how long he had been in the Army and what job he had. Were you able to ask him what job he had in the Army?
You know, on our interview show, we talked a little bit about his military background, but we didn't really go in that far depth. You know, maybe you guys should have him on the show as a guest. And, I'll get you guys in contact with him. And, yeah, his life story is such a fascinating and yet such an uplifting story. Like, if you meet someone who's battled demons and went through all the hardship in life and never looked out as, okay, well, you know, I felt. He never saw himself as that. He always saw it as, okay, that was a bump in the road, but I'm going to bring myself back up, and I'm going to go and achieve my dreams and go do the things I want to do. That's E-Rex. C-Red's a fighter, you know, and such a great guy. Like I said, I mean, have him as a guest on your show. I highly recommend it.
How big is the ring on his right hand on his small finger? That thing looked huge. Were you able to secretly look at that and estimate how many carats that was? That's my question.
A whole lot of carats, man.
I mean, that
ring was loaded, that's for sure.
I believe I saw that ring on the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Yes. Okay. John, in your opinion, do you believe that C. Red will be the last manager to work with you who made his first contact in wrestling by MySpace? MySpace. I got a kick out of that.
I don't think so, because You know, I do work with a lot of managers, as myself being a wrestling manager on the side. You know, wrestling managers kind of have a little network with each other, and they're, you know, there's C-Red, of course, Chaz Moretti, another Chicago standout of the Midwest. You know, there's so many guys, but yeah, so I don't know. That's interesting. You know, I'm kind of looking back at the days of MySpace, and wow, that's a throwback. I remember when, you know, we all were on MySpace and we never heard of this thing called Facebook. Times have changed, I'll tell you that. Times have definitely changed.
Yes, it looks like Facebook has lowered the atomic bomb on MySpace a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, now going on MySpace, it's kind of like seeing one of those old abandoned malls that you just remember you hang out at, and when you go by there, there's nothing there. That's how MySpace feels, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Soon you won't be able to see any malls and movies like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. No malls.
No, it's sad. Yeah, it's one of those dying businesses, and I'm kind of lucky. We got a couple malls around us that are actually thriving very well, or I should say thriving business that they're doing really well for themselves. So it's good to see, you know, there's some malls still left around, but yeah, I agree with you. The internet and the world around us have changed vastly different than what it was from the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah. I think we'll soon have virtual reality malls. Yes, where we'll have to strap on those glasses and go to a virtual reality mall. That's probably in the future.
Oh man, I hope not, but I can actually imagine seeing that myself. So yeah.
Oh, or a hologram. I'm looking forward to the groundbreaking wrestling match. Hopefully, that will take place with Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, a virtual reality ring. No one's ever thought of that. Virtual reality.
Huh, so it could be an interesting video game down the road for somebody, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, I know that you're up to about 7 episodes on your interview program. Sign Guy recently published Sign of the Times, episode 414. Called the Takeover Edition. How big would it be if, say, you were to appear in a Sign of the Times episode 507? How big would that be with you?
Oh, I'd love to do that. Yeah, I mean, Sign Guy is one of my absolute favorite people. It was a blast when he came to work for me at PWF, and you know, we hit it off and became, you know, pretty much good friends from that day. And yeah, I would love to be on one of the shows. So that would be awesome. And definitely would like to have him on one of my Pro Wrestling Tonight episodes as well. That's one of my goals, is to have, you know, not just Chicago talent, but other talent from all over to be on our TV program. It's a 30-minute TV show, but we're also working on doing a offshoot YouTube TV show with Pro Wrestling Tonight as well, outside the TV studio, where we're going to do a little bit more sit-down interviews and have a little bit more time to conduct the interviews itself. And of course, with television, you know, you do have, you know, restrictions and also, you know, time limits on your program because of other TV shows as well. So, yeah, I would love to do that.
Well, John, can you tell us about your recent partnership with Japan's active advanced pro wrestling, the manager, Ricky Fuji? Can you tell us about your work with him?
Yes, we formed up a relationship since I started with Chicagoland Championship Wrestling. Coming up and probably in the very near future, we'll be seeing some of the young talent from the company coming out of Japan, along with the legendary Ricky Fuji on our shows. We are planning to do some Japanese camps as well for American talent to get prepared for what the Japanese wrestling experience will be like for them when they come over to Japan to train and also work with Ricky Fuji's promotion. So it's a very good partnership that we're forming, and we're strengthening it each and every day. And, you know, we're also working with some other partnerships coming up as well with other companies in other countries too. So it's not just American Japan. It's going to be a worldwide thing. But very, very happy to be working with Ricky Fuchi. He is a true legend and a great gentleman all the way. So it's definitely something to look forward to.
To your knowledge, has Ricky Fuchi purchased a Chicagoland Championship Wrestling T-shirt? Does he have one in his possession?
Not yet, because we're actually getting those shirts developed. But I'd be glad to send one right over to him, though. So, yeah, we'll definitely be glad to do a T-shirt switch and trade. I have no problem wearing one of the 2AW shirts, and hopefully you'll enjoy wearing the beautiful blue Chicagoland shirt.
Ooh, they're in development. This is great. So, because, Mr. Bullard, I have a suggestion. There are four Iowa-class battleships from World War II and Korea. They are the Iowa, the Missouri, the Wisconsin, and the New Jersey. Maybe it's we still have enough time that you could consider putting one of these battleships, or perhaps all four, on your line of T-shirts, and it could say Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, as powerful as an Iowa-class battleship.
Hey, I like that. You know, we do actually have some armed service members that are professional wrestlers working for us as well. Garrison Creed is one. He served in the Army. Same thing with C-Red. And we have a few other members as well on our roster that you know, protected our nation. So, yeah, I like that. That would be a kind of a catchy logo. I would like that, yeah.
And for each battleship, you could have a different color. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
And you know, Mr. Bullard, there's one thing I kind of noticed. All those military people that work for you and the ones I come in contact with, they always seem to be on time, don't they?
Well, it's military standard. You know, you always come prepared and be there early to get things done. So my father was a military man himself, so that was a method of teaching that he passed down to me as well. So I'll show up to work and be there, you know, an hour to 30 minutes, usually about 30 minutes early. So it's just the way I've always been taught, and that's one of the things I've always appreciated about military members, too, that they're always prepared. So, yeah, that's a very good thing.
Mr. Bullard, will you be giving a military discount, say $2 to $3 on your T-shirts?
We will be doing work with military programs. For example, our debut show, April 4th, at the American Legion Post 451 here in Michigan City, Indiana. The proceeds that goes to the bar and also from our concessions actually goes to benefit the American Legion. So we're, even at our shows, we're giving back to our service members. We're also working also towards to developing a huge yearly show that won't be a TV studio show, but a larger building show that actually helps with either St. Jude's or Shriners Children's Hospital to help raise funds for the children. So, you know, that's always been a thing about me. I've always liked giving back to the community and giving back to people who need it. And so, yeah, anytime we could do something for our service members, for children, you know, why not? That's, you know, we as in professional wrestling, we have the power to, you know, give back to our community so much. Why not do it?
Ah, that's very good. Very good. I applaud your work with Shriners Hospital. Yes. They do very good work, Shriners.
Yes, they do. My wife's family, my wife's brother, him as a kid growing up, he had extreme rheumatoid arthritis as a young child, so he had a very difficult time walking. And Shriners Children's Hospital is the main reason why he has the ability of walking and working now as an adult. So, yeah, I've always been a huge supporter of the Shriners.
Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Bullard, you mentioned to Sign Guy one of your CCW wrestlers, rock star Johnny Nye. Can you confirm that at one time he was the bass player for Atlanta Rhythm Section.
No, he wasn't actually not the bass player for the Atlanta Rhythm Section. He's actually always had his own band. He just recently was on Chris Jericho's Cruise show, and he spent time hanging out with Chris Jericho and a few other people that he knows personally. So, no, his music and his band, you know, he's usually seen a lot in Las Vegas. But, you know, he came back to here in the Midwest to do some shows for us here at Chicagoland. So, yeah, Johnny's an interesting person. You guys should have him on the show sometime. He's got a very interesting story to tell and very interesting personality.
Oh, okay. All right. He actually has worked with Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy.
They're good friends.
Okay. Wow. Man, that's okay. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Bullard, would it be safe to say that the tag team of Youth Gone Wild is a direct descendant of WWE's tag team of Crime Time? Youth Gone Wild.
No. No, Youth Gone Wild are their own guys. Tom Heisman and Matt Creed, they've been a staple here in the Chicago wrestling scene for the last 10 years. They are currently handled by Chaz Moretti, the agent of the Stars. So, no, they're not directly any form of you know, related to Crime Time. The best way I could describe Youth Gone Wild is they remind me if Demolition, or I should say the Road Warriors and Motor City Machine Guns had a love child. That's the best way I describe these two guys. You know, they're punk rock personified with wrestling. So that's definitely them.
Now, who will they be facing April 4th at the event at the American Legion Post number 451? Who will they be going up against?
They'll actually be taking on Joey and Jacob Gotch, the Gotch brothers. Joey and Jacob, they were descendants of Frank Gotch, the first American world champion, of course. They're actually the, if I'm right, they're like the great-great-great-grandsons. And
wow.
Both of them are NCAA college wrestling members. I believe it was like University of Nebraska. Joey went on to wrestle for the Marine Corps national team. So both of them are like legitimate shooter type of wrestlers. You know, they remind me a lot of the Steiner brothers. But there's young guys that are developing. So I know the match against Youth Gone Wild, that's going to be that'll be a hell of a match.
Wow. All right. Okay. Jeez. The Marine Corps national team. Woo. That guy's tough. Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of the brothers are in fantastic shape and they're fantastic wrestlers. So that's going to be fun watching that match.
Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Well, John, when Sign Guy was in Kentucky and worked for you for that brief spell, did he bring a skull to the ring? A skull?
Not that I know of. He was a referee for our event that he worked. Then didn't see any skulls, unless he's hiding it somewhere. But Sign Guy was top-notch professional, great referee, and yeah, he was a blast to work with.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, he might not have had a skull with him, but he now carries a chicken in his travel bag, a chicken that he got from Cousin Hooter. Are you aware of this recent development and travel partner of Sign Guy? Chicken.
No, but that sounds very comical, though.
Oh, well, maybe Sign Guy can send you a photo of chicken. I think you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Now,
speaking of chickens and Sign Guy's travel partner, you went to DeSoto County High School. Can you name the mascot of your high school? The mascot?
Yeah, it was a bulldog, actually.
Oh, okay. Bulldog. All right. And what were your school colors?
Blue and silver.
Ah, okay. I keep this in a journal of all our pretty much all our guests, what their colors were and their mascot. Okay. That was silver and blue?
Yeah, silver and blue. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's fantastic. You are now in our guest logbook under school and colors and mascots. Okay. Now, speaking of mascots, are there going to be any wrestlers on your April 4th event, that are going to bring a mascot to the ring that you know of? A real live animal.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Now, speaking of travel companions that might be a chicken and school mascots, are there going to be any wrestlers that are going to have a mascot that they bring down to the ring on April 4th?
Not that I know of.
No, Frankie the Parrots with Coco Beware, that type thing?
Unless someone sort of surprised me with some animals, then that would be interesting to see. But all in all, not that I know of.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Bullard, thank you for coming back on the show. And at this time, I'm going to pass it back over to Sign Guy. And may you have fun watching the most recent Sign of the Times.
Oh, thank you. I'm always
back
glad
to
talk
Sign
to
Guy.
You as well.
Thank you, QT. Well, John, one of the more underrated aspects of pro wrestling which can make or break a promotion as far as fan attendance is the ring announcer. They're usually the face of the company. They are the people that give the information needed to enjoy the events and find the next events to the fans. A bad ring announcer can really sink a show. A good announcer can help save a show that's not quite as good. What do you think of the importance of ring announcers to what you're doing there in Chicago with a studio show? And who do you think are some of the people out there that might be really talented ring announcers that need to be given more work?
Well, we actually have a great ring announcer. His name is Greg Hansen. Greg is top of the line, great ring announcer, very professional in his appearance and also how he communicates with the fans and the talent. I'm highly glad that he is on board with us. We have Michael Allen, who is our interview man, pretty much a gentleman at the podium. He's another one, extremely professional, always has his notes, always prepared for what can happen, what can't happen. Yeah, he's top of the line. Our color commentator is the legendary manager, Joey Roth. You know, so I'm a huge believer when you have any commentary or interviewer or ring announcer, and you want to have someone who's very professional and top of the line. So having those gentlemen on board with us is going to be a huge plus. To me, I do highly agree and suggest that any company starting up, you want to have your ring announcers or your color commentator, play-by-play man, be professional. Make sure they understand the business to the fullest understanding of the business. And to, of course, most importantly, the way that they handle themselves. Because your ring announcer, for example, is the eyes of the company. I mean, they're the face of the company. They're the person that the fans will see probably more on that night than they will actually see the talent. So I do agree with that. And to me, I believe how ring announcers kind of get overlooked sometimes. As you said yourself, a good ring announcer can make a regular show a fantastic show, and the bad ring announcer can take a fantastic show and make it a horrible show. So, yeah, those positions are very, very much valuable.
Well, it looks like we are down to the final few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything at all you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, the upcoming shows, the merchandise, your social medias, your favorite donut shop, anything you'd like, floor is all yours.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank the fans who have been supporting myself and also the wrestling product part of for the last, going on the last 10 years. And definitely wanted to give a shout-out to all the guys who are working with me at Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, to Greg Hansen, to Michael Allen, Joy Roth, to Ewok, C-Red, Chaz Moretti, Johnny Nye, the entire roster that's going to be part of our April 4th show that are working with us to build a great brand. When you use the Chicagoland name, a lot of people always say, well, I know you're doing Northwest Indiana. Northwest Indiana is actually still considered part of the Chicagoland territory. We're also going to be doing shows in Chicago, too. And so with that, we also want to thank our fans, our supporters, the people who have been championing a different product in the time and age where everyone's trying to be the super indie company. We're doing a television product type show that makes things easier for everyone to have a lighter schedule, of course, but also do something different. I also want to thank my wife for always being my strongest supporter and my rock and sometimes the sea of trouble. And she's never gave up on me when the going got tough. And honestly, I could talk about her all day. And Corey is an amazing wife and amazing supporter. Most of all, I also want to thank you, Sign Guy, and also CC for always having me on the show and giving me a platform to talk about the things that are going on in my life. And most of all, it's one of those things that, having good friends over the years, the day comes, I always sit down and write a book about, my life in wrestling. You guys definitely have a very special place in that book as two really wonderful friends. And very thankful for you guys always giving me that airtime. Most of all, maybe a shout out, I always want to give thanks to the guy that inspired me to do Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, my good friend Chris Martinez. Chris worked as a referee, and he had developed, I hope he doesn't get offended by this when I talk about this, he developed a stage 4 cancer. And he's going through procedures and going through the chemo, and he's the toughest guy I know. And we talked forever about doing a retro, old-school TV studio show in the Midwest for a long time. And the reason why I created the company is because of my friendship with Chris and to see something that we talked about so much come alive. And, he's the best. And to me, that's my biggest shout out is to my buddy. And also, I kind of say, I really do hope and someday we'll see the wrestling universe get along with each other. There's so many companies and there's so many people who are like a sling butt at people doing something different. And it's a shame. We're all in this together. This is a business that we all loved growing up. There's no reason why people cannot work together and to make things the absolute best. To me, we should just try to get along and build bridges that bring them down. But all in all, honestly, I'm just grateful for everybody's been in my life. And for that, thank you to everybody.
Well, John, as always, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I want to wish you much success with Chicagoland Championship Wrestling. Hopefully, I will pop up there at some point in time. Love to work with you one more time. And fans, definitely.
Yeah, same here, man.
If you're in that area, fans, definitely check it out when it comes out very, very soon. I think you're going to be pleased with the product. Looks like it's going to be a very successful year. So get out there, support Chicagoland Championship Wrestling. You can find me Sunday in Richland, Washington for Reactivate Pro Wrestling. And we'll be back with you on Sunday afternoon here with our guest Paloma Starr. And then 1 week from today, we will be back with you once again with referee Anthony Abbs of Northwest Pro Wrestling. So join us then, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.